Well, good morning, church. It's so good to see everybody this morning. Hope you had a Merry Christmas. We're glad that you're here. You could have went anywhere else to worship with us, worship in Smyrna, and you chose to come here, and we just want to thank you for that. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do in this place today as we end 2023 today and look forward to 2024. 2023 was a big year for the Garrett family. And when I think about 2023, especially for my wife and I, it was a big year because we celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary. That was amen. Praise the Lord. And so we went out to a nice restaurant and we sat down and we were just talking, reminiscing over the years. And I got to thinking about the first time I told my wife that I loved her. And I went all out on dinner. We went to Chili's and we were riding around my hometown in Georgia, and I saw a parking lot, and I said, okay, I know what we're going to do. We're going to pull in here, and I got out of the truck, and I went over to her side of the truck and helped her out, and I popped in that Garth Brooks CD and started playing Shameless, you know, and so we started dancing. It was a pretty awesome night. And right as Garth was ending his song, If Tomorrow Never Comes, remember that one? It was just perfect. I looked her dead in the eyes and I said, Megan, I love you. And at that moment, it was like her face just shone, just so beautiful, so bright. And I wish I could say it was because of her beauty, which typically that happens. But no, it was the spotlight coming from the patrol car that had pulled up and asking us why we were trespassing on private property. And I mean, love is a crazy, crazy thing, isn't it? I mean, it's a serious thing, but yet we use that word love synopsis with many different things. We talk about our love for food, and we talk about our love for football teams, and we talk about our love for our spouses, and love is such a big thing. And when we think about December, we celebrated Advent. We talk about the love of God sending his son Jesus, and we lit all the candles, or we tried to light all the candles, and we went through all the Advent series, and we thought about, and we really remembered the word love. But as we go into 2024, we got to think back at 2023, because so many of us going into the new year made a resolution, probably like me, to, I'm going to love Jesus more in 2023 than I did in 2022. And honestly, if we were to be honest around here, it probably fizzled out around February, right? And a lot of things got in the way. A lot of things stood in the way. And during New Year's time, I always like to think back about Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, this guy comes to Jesus and tries to test him and tries to really stand up to him. And Jesus, he's asking, what's the greatest commandment? He's a lawyer, so he knows all about it. And so he's asking, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus answers, he says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. He said, this is the greatest commandment. All the law and the prophets hang on this this thing. And Jesus is actually referring back to something in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy. We'll get there in just a second. But he refers to this as the greatest commandment. This is the greatest commandment. To love the Lord God with everything we say, how we live our lives, what we do, our actions, our words, everything that we are, we need to love God more. So if we're going into 2023 with that in mind, loving God with everything that we are, man, if we're to be honest, that's really tough, isn't it? It's really hard to love God with everything that we are, everything that we say. And the Bible talks about this. Over and over and over, loving God with everything that we are. And I think today through our text that we can answer that question, how do we love God more in 2024? Whoa, how do we love God more in 2024? I'll write that down. That was unplanned. All right, but how do we love God more in 2024? I won't say that again, I promise, because I will make myself laugh because that was dumb. We got to think about three ways. How do we love God more? We think about it in three ways. To love God is to honor God. To love God is to honor him. To love God is to desire him. Number two, to love God is to desire him. Number three, to love God is to obey him. So to honor him, to desire him, to obey him. And we see that found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is a family service. So kids, try to beat your parents. Better yet, try to see if you can spell it before your parents can. How about that? And when you get there, go ahead and stand in honor of God's word like we do. We stand up for a lot of things, but we honor God's word and standing for God's word. So if you wouldn't mind, when you get there, Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's in the Old Testament. We're just going to read just a few verses this morning, and we're going to see how we can love God with everything we are today out of this scripture. Verse 4 says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Now this text is a familiar text, and it's known as the Shema. And the Shema in Hebrew means hear. It's almost like God is saying to his chosen people, hey, listen up, as a father would say to his son, listen, I've got something really important to tell you. Listen here. And he's really leaning this in to them because he loves his children so much. And so when we think about this, today we're not going to do a deep dive in the heart, soul, and mind. We're not going to go there today. We're just going to, that would be an overarching, just a massive love with everything that we are. But we want to take a look, if we're going to love God with everything we are, we have to honor God. We have to honor him. And how do we do that? To honor God is to recognize him for who he is. We need to recognize him. Who he is, he's the one God. He's one God in three persons, and we get to have a relationship with him. We get to talk to him. We get to see this king who is above all and over all and in all and through all. And there's a reason why God starts this off with, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." The Lord is God, and the Lord, he is one. And so he is worthy to be worshiped as Elohim, the Lord. And I love to kind of do deep dives on different words that writers use for God. And here it's Elohim. And this word is a plural word that's used in singular form here, which is pretty interesting, that God refers to himself as plural but yet singular. Here he's, our God exists. And if you've been around church world for a while, you probably know this. Our God exists as three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so it's not like God is a head and arm and a leg. That's not what it's like. It's not one God with three different expressions. It's unlike anything else we can imagine. He is unlike anything that we can think of. He is perfectly one in three persons. He's perfectly one in three persons. Another way to say this would be that God is one what in three who's. One what in three who's. We are one what and one who. And that's hard for us to understand, right? It's hard for us to wrap our minds around who God is and exactly his bigness and his glory and his might and his majesty. And we need to think, why is this even important? Why even go into who God is? Because if we're going to honor him with all that we are, we need to recognize who he is in his magnitude and his majesty and his glory. And we need to recognize each person of the Trinity. We need to recognize the Father, and we need to recognize the Son, and we need to recognize the Holy Spirit. When you got saved, you received the Holy Spirit at the moment of your salvation. At the moment of your salvation, you receive the helper, the guide, to draw you closer to the Father every single day. And so we recognize God for who he is. He's three in one. And when we think about this, I was trying to think about how we could illustrate this in his magnitude and his might and his majesty. It's almost like when you're driving up 24 and you're taking the turn going into Nashville, and you see the skyline, but you see Nissan Stadium way off in the distance, right? You see it, and it's really small. It's almost like you could pinch it, right? And as you get closer, as you make the turn, you're getting closer and closer. That building gets bigger and bigger until you're standing right next to it, and that's a massive stadium. It's huge. So you're looking at it, and you realize the stadium didn't change, right? The stadium didn't change. Your proximity and your perspective to the stadium changed. And that's how we need to look at God. When we get closer to God, we see him for who he is. We see that he is bigger. We see that he is mightier. We see that he is all glorious, and he's better than anything this world has to offer. He's God. And when we stand in his presence and we recognize who he is, it makes us realize who we aren't. Who we aren't. He is God and we are not. And one way we can recognize him and give him glory and honor this coming year is to come together as a body of Christ and committing to come to church, committing to be together, committing to open up God's word with each other, committing to praising God corporately and giving him the worship he deserves, because there's no one who deserves praise like God, amen? He deserves all the praise. And so when I think about this, the closer we are to God, the bigger he gets. And it reminds us that he is God and we are not, and he deserves all the praise. But when we think about loving God with all we are, and we honor him, but it doesn't stop there. To love God is to desire him. And that's our second truth that we find out of our text today. To love God is to desire him. And we love God by desiring him more than anything else. Think really quickly. When you're laying in bed and you're watching that fan go around above you on the ceiling, and you're thinking about through your day, you're going back through your day, did you desire the Lord? And what you're thinking about in that moment shows what you desire the most. There's some people who desire money and wealth, so they're constantly thinking how to make more money. There's some people that desire their football team to win, like ours did last night. Go Dawgs, all right? So we desire that. A lot of us, we think about different things, and we desire golf, to job, to finances, to our spouses, or schools, or girlfriends, or boyfriends. We think about these different things, and what does our mind go to? I'm reminded out of Psalm 27, the psalmist says this: "One thing I ask of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Many times we go to the Lord, many times we go to him out of a sense of duty, right? And not delight. We go to him because we feel like we have to go to God, right? We go to him out of duty. This past week, I went to the store and I bought some flowers for my wife, and I came home. And when I came in the door, she said, "What are these for?" And I could have said, "Well, I'm your husband. It's what I'm supposed to do," right? How do you think that would have went over? She would have looked at me and said, "Okay, big boy." No. I said, "Because I love you. I want to bless you. Like, I'm so enthralled with you. I desire you." And that's what love does. Love desires things, and desire is to show that you love things. To love is to desire, and it's easy. Is it easier for you to express your love for God? Is it easy for you to recognize who he is? Is it easy for us to understand that we need to desire him above anything else? One way, I've used this many times in my own life, one way to see how much my desire is for the Lord is to grab a sheet of paper or go to the notes app on your phone and write down the hours of your day. Just start out 12 a.m., 1 a.m., and go all the way down to 11:59 p.m. and just write it all out. And then go next to it and just put what you are doing, and you can get detailed as you want to, but put what you do in those hours. I mean, you're sleeping, you're getting ready for work, you're going to your first class, you just finished your last meeting, you're heading home from work, you're about to start dinner, you're watching TV with your spouse. You chart it all out and then go back. And then go back and see how much time that you use to desire the Lord. Sometimes that can be tough. And I'm not saying that you have to spend 5 or 6 hours in God's word. I'm not saying that you have to spend all this time praying and going to him, but we need to recognize, we need to desire him above everything, that he is foremost. He's in the center of everything else that I do in my life. And one way we can do that is praying. One way we can commit to loving God more into this new year and desiring God is by praying more. You know, and when we're praying, we get to talk to the God of the universe. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn in two that we might have direct access to the King. And we can talk to him anytime we want to. We can talk to him when we're laying in our bed. We can talk to him when we're driving down the road. I'd advise you not to close your eyes when you do that. But when you are riding down the road and you're praying, people would look at you crazy if you're talking out loud, right? Now everybody just thinks you're on the cell phone. So pray when you're riding down the road. Pray and offer prayers out loud to our King. When you're dropping your kids off for school, pray. When you're picking them up, pray over them. When your wife or your husband goes to work, pray over them. One of the greatest moments I just had with my wife is she prayed over me before I came up on the stage today. I love that we can go to our King anytime we want to. We can talk to him and we can pray to him. And one prayer that we can have very simply is, God, help me desire you more. Help me desire you more than anything else on this planet. Help me love you more. One prayer that I pray oftentimes, I pray this every day, if not a couple of times during the day. I ask the Lord, God, what's standing in the way of you and I right now? Reveal that to me. And the tough part about it, when we go to God and we ask him things, he'll answer. He's so faithful. So he'll answer us. But when we pray those bold prayers, he wants to help that connection between us and him be restored. He wants this relationship to be restored because we need to love him with everything that we are. But how do we do that? Well, we honor him. And we need to desire him above everything else. But I also think there's one more truth that we find through this scripture that we need to love God is to obey him. To love God is to obey him. Loving Jesus is synonymous with obeying him. It's synonymous with obeying him. Jesus even said in John 14:5, if you love me, well, let's just time out for just a second. If I was to ask you this question, how many of you love Jesus? There would be hands across the room. We would raise our hand. Most all of us would say that we love Jesus, all across the room. But Jesus' words continue on in this verse. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will keep my commandments. And we can't grow in our love for Jesus if we aren't growing in our obedience to him. We can't grow in our love for Jesus if we're not growing in our obedience to him. And when we're not obedient to him, it's this wedge of what we call sin. Sin stands in between us and God. Sin is actually an archery term. So if you were to think of my hand as a target in the center of the bullseye, you would think about God being holy. He's in the center of everything. And anything that we do outside of God and his holiness is missing the mark. I've always wanted to go to an archery tournament and someone miss and yell out, "Sinner!" I don't think that'd go too well, but I've always wanted to do it because that's what we're doing. We're sinning when we miss the mark. And when we sin, it drives a wedge in between us and God. It messes up the relationship that we have with he and I. And that doesn't happen overnight, right? That just doesn't happen just from the jump. No, it kind of, there's a slow fade in this. Psalm 1 talks about that a little bit too. But when we think about this, women who cheat on their husband, they don't start out with just saying, "I'm done with you, I'm with that guy now." No, it starts out with looking up their old boyfriend on Facebook just to see what he's up to. And forgetting about the command of do not commit adultery. Men who cheat on their taxes don't go, "Well, I think if I forget this filing or I don't say this or I don't add this form, man, I'm a little guy in Smyrna, Tennessee. Nobody, IRS won't find me." No. They YouTube it and see how they can skirt around the system, but we forget about the commandment, you should not steal. Kids who cheat on tests don't just go from 60s to 100s, right? Their parents are saying often, you need to study, you need to take the time, you need to learn what you're, retain what you're learning, you need to take the time to study everything. And oftentimes they go on TikTok to see the latest cheating trends and see, instead of remembering that one of the commandments is to honor our father and mother. But see, these things don't happen overnight. And any Christian that feels like their love for God has grown cold needs to understand what is standing in the way of you and God. And we need to take a hard look at our obedience to Him. Now, I want to be really, really clear. Our obedience to God does not make Him love us anymore. God could not love you anymore if He wanted to. He loves you so much right now. You can't do anything. There's not a number you could give to the church. There's not a number of times you could walk through these doors. There's not enough prayers you could pray for God to love you. There's not enough obedience that you can do to love God more, immediate acts that you could do to love God more. But the thing about it is, our obedience is an overflow of what God has done for us. I mean, He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, that we might have life. He who knew no sin became sin for us. When I think about that, it's so glorious, because Jesus never sinned. He never looked at a woman lustfully. He never stubbed His toe on the couch of His house and said a cuss word. He never disobeyed His parents. He was completely perfect, yet He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. And that's such a big thing. And when we sin, it's almost like we're separating ourselves. And I think about it this way. I think about a sheet of paper in between us and God. A sheet of paper is really super thin, not very thick. And every time we sin, it just puts a wall of paper in between us and God. Now, I can't see God, but I can hear God, and I can still hear Him. If I sin again, two sheets, it's not that big of a deal. But over time, let's just say on our best day that we sin three times. How about that? We sin on our best day. Today, you sin three times. Okay. Well, you add that up this week, and you got over 20 sins, and then you multiply that through over the year, and that's over 1,000 sins, and then you multiply that by how old you are, and that's a lot of sins that's gotten in between us and God, right? It stops us from hearing Him, and yet it's us that's done it. We have put this wall between God and us. And so I know this for a guy who hates math more than he hates running, I know this. God wants us to burn this wall down, and we can't do it alone. We have to use the help of the Holy Spirit. We have to understand who He is and go to Him in His word. We have to confess our sins. We have to repent and not go back. We can't go back to our old lives. God is so much better. And when we set up accountability and we put up guardrails through the help of the church and small groups and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, man, it helps us to obey Him, because this isn't something that we do passively. This is something that we have to step into. We have to actively do this. And one way we can do that going into 2024 is committing to God's Word. It's committing to reading the Bible every day. Every single day. I mean, think about how did Jesus respond when the enemy came to Him and attacked Him? He quoted scripture back, right? Because He had God's word hidden in His heart. And that's what we must do. And so last year, we've been doing this for several years at LifePoint. But this year, we're going to continue our Bible reading plan, but we've switched some stuff up. You can go to lifept.org/Bible. And there are so many plans for where you are to dive into reading God's word this year from January 1 to December 31st. You can read God's word. You can dive in. And I kind of liken it to, because I'm a redneck from Georgia, so I have to make it really simple. It's like mild, medium, and hot. Wherever we are in our walk with Christ, there's a spot for you to read God's word. You can read the whole New Testament in a year and just do it slow and take your time through it. You can read the entirety of God's word. You can read 4 chapters a day, 5 chapters a day with no breaks. There's plans with breaks. There's so many different plans. But here's the deal. Our desire, if we want to love God more than anything else this year in 2024, we have to love this book. This book is God's thoughts on everything. It's a love letter that was written to you and I from God himself about his son Jesus, that we might have a relationship with him, that nothing would get in the way of our walk with him and nothing that would stand in the way. I mean, when we read God's word, we see about his goodness and we see about his mercy. We see about his love for us. We understand who he is and who we're not. And it reminds us of his glory and his grace and his majesty. Remember at the beginning of our time together, I was talking about the story of the spotlight shining on Megan and I when I told her I loved her. I could say that that night ended really well and in the back of a cop car. That's not how it ended. So he asked us what we were doing, and I said, well, we're just dancing. And that light stayed on us for a moment, and then it turned off. And I think this is a trick. If you're a police officer in here, I know this is in the handbook to freak people out, to get their heart rate up. I know it. He paused for it seemed like an eternity. And I didn't know what was about to happen. And out of the blue, he just says, dancing and romancing. I've never forgotten that. And for real, for the past 23 years, Megan and I have been dancing and romancing. I promise you. And it hasn't been easy. There have been times, there's been struggles, and usually it's my fault. I usually say something stupid or do something goofy, and I'm a knucklehead, and I have to go to her and ask forgiveness and restore our relationship, but that's the same way with God. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to love him with all that we are, and he wants us to honor him. He wants us to desire him, and he wants us to obey his commandments. And if we're believers in here today, I know this may seem daunting, but we can do it this year. We can do it this year. One thing to think about is, where do you want to be by the end of 2024? Where do you want to be? Start with the end in mind. If you want to read God's word, make a plan to do that. Go to the end of 2024 and work backwards. If you want your relationship with God to be the focus of your whole year, where do you want to be? And then go back and put God at the center starting today, even. If you're an unbeliever in here, you don't know Jesus, you can have that salvation today. You don't have to leave here wondering. If you're watching online, you don't have to watch and wonder where you stand with the Lord. I mean, we would love to talk to you today. We would love to have a conversation with you. Maybe you're in this room and you want to come talk to us. We'll be standing back at the pastor connection. I would love to talk to you. We had a young man a couple months ago come out of the service, make a beeline and said, I need to be saved. And I was like, that's super cool. He goes, no, you don't understand. I need to be saved right now. And God saved him right back on that carpet in front of that TV. It was awesome. But maybe you're in this room and you need to talk to someone. Come talk to us. Maybe you're watching online and you need someone to talk to you. I want to encourage you, go to this number, 615-551-9800, and text Jesus. Now, I know that may sound gimmicky sometimes, and you might think, oh, an AI bot is going to respond back to me. No, I promise you, someone real will reach back to you. Because here's the deal. We know that God loves you more than anything, and he wants a relationship with you today. So as we go into 2024, let's love God with everything that we are, with everything we are. And we honor him and we desire him, and let's obey his commandments. Let's pray. God, we love you and we thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for how it's living. I thank you for how it's active. I thank you for how it's true. God, I thank you for how it speaks to us even now in this moment. God, if there are folks in this room that know you, and I know that there are, God, may we fall more in love with you next year than ever before. May we look back at 2024 knowing that we have put you in your rightful place, and that's the center of our lives. Maybe there's some folks in this room who don't know you, Jesus. May today be the day of salvation. May they not wait. May they not try to fix themselves up and try to get things right. May they just lean into your Holy Spirit speaking to them right now and accept your free gift of salvation. God, we love you, and we thank you, God, for today. And we just ask that we would love you more tomorrow than we did today. That's in Jesus' name we pray.